salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Well, folks, this is another one of those shows. I would encourage you right now to Facebook, email, everybody that you know, say tune into the CoachDaveLive.com because this is going to be a great informative show. We had a great one yesterday with Kevin Shipp and got a lot of pushback and feedback on that one. Folks, we're in an information overload here in the United States of America. I was thinking when I crawled in bed last night, I wanted the night to be over so I could get up and start looking again at everything that's going on. There's so much disinformation going on. I'm telling you, there's an awakening going on. That was the first thing I noticed this morning when I got up here in Ohio. You know, they had folks went to our governor's office. Well, and had the press conference the other day. They were outside pounding on windows and everything, disrupted his press conference. And we see that there's finally a pushback coming in places probably we would never would have expected them. And I've been trying to warn people that if we, the body of Christ, if we don't wake up and get involved, the NASCAR crowd's going to. And I believe the NASCAR crowd is really starting to awaken. And we're getting a lot of disinformation. Remember, I was explaining yesterday that the enemy's at work with his information as well. So you bring in good guests like we had with Kevin Shipp yesterday, and people still aren't convinced. They still say, well, you know, he's playing for the other team. He's on the dark. Well, you know, the truth is what it is. And as you know, we have guests on here sometimes, but not back-to-back guests like we're doing today. But it just happened to be an opportunity where we were able to grab Kevin yesterday, and I was able to get Dr. Tenpenny, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was able to book her in here today. So sit back, get your microphone, your questions ready. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, I met her in Dallas, Austin, Houston, one of those towns a couple months ago. I announced she's from Ohio, and I'd like everybody else, I'd followed her on the internet, and she was the, dare I say it, the anti-vax girl, the anti-vax doctor. And you know, the battle that we're still having over vaccinations, and are vaccinations good? Are they going to kill you? Should we take them? Are there body baby aborted baby parts in them? And Robert Kennedy Jr. out there, he's fighting against vaccinations. Bill Gates is trying to hammer us with vaccinations. You go to the doctor, they're trying to give you the vaccinations. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. And we heard Bill Gates say that, you know, we're going to keep locked down until somebody comes up with a vaccination. And we all go back to Sabin on Sunday, Salk Sabin. Remember that? We drank that little thing and how that cured smallpox, they told us. And so we've become so convinced that vaccines are the way to go. And again, we just don't know, do we? We just don't know. Well, today, we're really, really fortunate because I know that her phone's probably ringing off the hook trying to get Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on because she is a holistic. She ain't no newcomer to this thing. She's been fighting, working for holistic medicine, doing research on vaccinations, the pros and the cons of vaccination for 30 years. She's talking about vaccinations when nobody else was talking about vaccinations. And even today in Christian circles, you go talk to people and some of the folks you run into that are Christians, you can't believe that they haven't even thought about vaccinations. They haven't even thought about injecting this serum into their body. They haven't even thought about whether they just do it, right? Well, vaccinations are front and center right now with this coronavirus. And so we're fortunate to have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on. And I'm not going to give a long bio about her. You can go to her website, tenpennyim.com. I think that's what it is. Say that right, Doc?
That's not it. Don't go there. I mean, if you go there, that's my medical clinic. But the best place to go, there's two sites. One is Vaxxter.com, V-A-X-X-T-E-R.com. And Vaxxter.com is where we really pump out. I have great writers, and we put out really high quality information about problems associated with vaccines. And if you want to know more about our educational courses, that would be going to courses 4mastery.com. But Vaxxer is the place where I'd like people to be most familiar with. They can sign up for our email list. They can donate to the cause. They can go backwards in the archives and down at the bottom. If you scroll down a little bit, there's a really great search engine that you can put words in there and you can find out. You can get educated on this top because I've been doing this, like you said, Dave, I've been doing this since September of 2000. I put more than 40,000 hours of research into problems associated with vaccines. And I'm a board certified practicing medical doctor. I still see patients 2 to 2.5 days a week in my clinic. Before I started seeing clinic patients here in Cleveland, Ohio, which is where I live in Cleveland, I used to be director of the emergency department in Findlay, Ohio. So I was the director of the ER for 12 years before I got my own clinic and moved to Cleveland, Ohio. And then I started looking at problems with vaccines in September of 2000 because the deeper I dug down the rabbit hole, I kept going because, Dave, I kept thinking sooner or later, I would come across something that made sense. Some reason that we would inject foreign matter into little children and think that somehow it was improving their health. Well, after 20 years and 40,000 hours, and I keep doing it every single day, I could stand assuredly that vaccines have never been proven to be safe. They don't keep you from getting sick, and they definitely can cause harm.
Well, that's great news because, you know, Doc, so much of the church is not awake to it. And what we try to do here, we try to reach the church, right? That's our target audience. We want anybody to listen, but we're trying to, those things that nobody will talk about in church, that the pulpits won't talk about, this is kind of a clearinghouse for where we do it. So you got into it back in 2000. Unveil it for us. What the heck is going on? Give us, why would we not, Dr. Sherry, why would we not want to take vaccinations? They save lives. We see it all the time. Bill Gates says that we're going to save the world if we can just shoot these vaccinations in us.
Well, primarily, just because you say something over and over again doesn't mean it's true. I mean, we gave up the Flat Earth Society a long time ago, and I'm sorry if I offend any Flat Earthers out there, but as far as I'm concerned, I fly a lot, and I've been all over the world. I've been blessed to have been in 72 countries. It's kind of round out there. So, just because you say something over and over and over and over again, vaccines are safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. And if you don't get vaccinated, you're going to get this whatever infection it is, infection du jour, and you're going to get worst case scenario because everyone's going to be exposed. When you get exposed, you will get sick. When you get sick, you will get worst case scenario sick, unless, of course, you're vaccinated.
So what's your take then here on the coronavirus? What's your take on that? I mean, clearly there's something out there, right? There's something out there, but what is it?
Well, that's the great big unknown, isn't it? Because it's the corona family of coronaviruses have been around for 60 years. There's 32 different coronaviruses that are out there in circulation. Four of those serotypes are the ones that cause the most infection. When you go to the CDC's website, it actually says that in any given influenza season, there are the 40% of the people that get sick worldwide by something that looks like the flu. It's caused by influenza, or it's caused by coronaviruses. Only 15% of pathology, only 15% of the time during the winter season, anywhere in the world, if you get sick, is that illness caused by an influenza virus. So coronaviruses have been around for a really long time. And I think that the vast majority of people have probably had a coronavirus infection somewhere in their life. They have some level of immunity where they get cross-reactivity and cross-immunity, natural immunity from having had the infection. And that's why 86% of people who contract a coronavirus today in this current plandemic that we have, 86% of people recover uneventfully. But they never talk about those numbers.
They keep giving us the death numbers and the sick numbers. I said to my wife the other day, I got to be careful because, the world we live in, I think I had it, Doc. I think I had it. And, it was just kind of a mild thing. But I don't want to go around and tell people that I've had it, right? Even though the medical community wants us to go get identified as having had it. Why do they want to do that? Why do they want to know whether or not I've had it?
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one is the death rate and all this every day in the news. 10 more people died. 5 more people died. That number is absolutely irrelevant unless you know the denominator. I mean, if 100 people died and 1,000 people were sick, that's a 10% death rate. But if 100 people died and 1,000,000 people were sick or had been exposed to the virus, it's 0.00 some percent. So all of this hysteria and fear mongering about the number of deaths and people are dying and oh my gosh, and is number one, it's nonsense. And number two, now that the CDC and the state medical boards are encouraging doctors to fabricate death certificates and claim that somebody has died from a virus when they've never even been tested for it. Now the data gets even more messy, more sloppy, and more irrelevant. So why do they want everybody to be tested? Two reasons. Number one, they want to capture everybody's DNA. Those nasal swabs are being sent in the, so a DNA fingerprint is being captured by everybody. Number two, the reason they want to do that is they want everybody in a database. And these vaccine databases sponsored by the CDC, for which your tax dollars pay for, have been around for at least 15 years. They want everybody in there. It's nothing more, in my opinion, than an electronic swastika that's going on your arm that's going to follow you cradle to grave.
So it's
really, really about tracking, data tracking. In fact, we do in our boot camp course, we do an entire module on data tracking that has been done by the CDC, and that you are supposed to be known. You're supposed to be given informed consent that they, what they're going to do with your DNA and your fingerprint is put it into a database. You're supposed to know about this and have the right to refuse. Who's having the right to refuse if you go out and get a swab to be tested to decide whether or not you're clean? Isn't that just interesting language? Whether or not you are clean is what they're doing with that DNA and what database that's going into.
So you said you
real
said,
ID. It's going on your real ID.
Hang on, Jack. I'll get you here in a second. So you called it a plandemic, and a lot of people say that. Two things, doctor. Why would it be planned, and what are they trying to do?
Well, I wrote an article. You know, when all this stuff first started, I sat back and just watched for several weeks. I have a really big audience, Dave. I've been doing this a long time. I've done thousands of radio shows, podcasts, television interviews, and spoken at conferences all over the world. If you can count the numbers, I've got over 300,000 people on my Facebook page. I started my Instagram page 5 months ago, and we already have almost 34,000 followers. So I have a really big audience. And everybody was asking me, Dr. Sherry, what do you think? What's going on? What's going on? And I just took kind of the 30,000 foot view and thought, I'm just going to watch this unroll here a little bit. And then when I wrote an article about 10 days ago, it's on Vaxxer. It's called, you know, How Soon We Forget. The article, How Soon We Forget. Because we've done this before. This is the same playbook, different virus. We did it in 2002 with SARS. We did it in 2005 with bird flu, the H5N1. We did it in 2009 with swine flu, H1N1. And now we're doing it again. And this time the numbers are smaller, more insignificant. And yet the powers that be have decided to take the global economy to its knees to get rid of Trump. That's really what they're doing.
I think that's what's behind everything. You know,
I do.
We had a local guy died, our first local one. And I know the family. I mean, he was a great guy, older, some secondary conditions, of course. And when it came out in the news.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dave. Okay. But that's just exactly it. Even the numbers in Italy, where they've had the highest number of senior citizens that have died, they think that over 98%, probably pushing 98% of people who died, we died from a comorbidity. They died from an underlying problem, heart disease, COPD, heavy smoker, asthma, emphysema, cancer, diabetes, other problems, not because of the virus. And let me just finish by saying, in Italy now, they are distinguishing between dying caused by the virus and dying in association with the virus.
Isn't that something? Because in our newspaper, it said that he died from complications from coronavirus. And I said,
exactly.
The heck does that mean, right? So, I mean, it's just a nebulous thing that they throw out there.
And when they fabricate the death certificate, that when people die in the hospital of almost anything else, and you can kind of suspect that maybe they had a coronavirus infection. We don't want to call it a disease. It's an infection, a coronavirus infection. You put that on the death certificate. What does that do? Drives the number and pushes their agenda.
and money behind it too. So let me back you up here just a second, because this, you know, this is the big news because it's the coronavirus, yada yada yada. But Dr. Sherry, you've been at this for a long time, and we run into our grandchildren. Well, I got to be careful how I say this. I know some children who are not vaccinated, and I know a lot of people who are watching right now who do not want to get their children vaccinated and do not want to get their grandchildren vaccinated. Let's stay away from the coronavirus for a second. Just vaccinations in general, why are they not the miracle cure that the medical industry has tried to convince us of?
It's the same reason. Never have they been proven to be safe. In all of the clinical trials, there has never been tested against a true placebo, except in one or two very small preliminary trials. But the big trials are always done testing one vaccine and their side effects against another one. The second thing is that effective, because we hear the safe and effective all the time, right? Right. Well, effective is not a synonym for protection. You can name any one of the 17 childhood vaccines that kids get. Dave, when you and I were growing up, there were three. Now there are multiple doses of 17 vaccines. And you can name any single one of those vaccines, including tetanus, and you can get any of those vaccines and still contract the infection. So you're taking on all the risk and you don't get the protection. And thirdly, vaccines, if they don't protect you and keep you from getting sick, one of the many things that vaccines actually do is they cause disease. And I've spent the last couple of years making a really big distinction between infection and disease. An infection is like you get a coronavirus infection. It comes and goes in the vast majority of people in 7 to 10 days and leaves behind some level of immunity. Now, with this particular virus, is it lifetime immunity? We don't know yet. It hasn't been around long enough to say, but it's an infection. Everybody gets a sinus infection, a bronchitis, a bladder infection. Everybody's had infections. They come and go. A disease is something that comes and stays. Multiple sclerosis, cancer, as emphysema, MS, those are diseases. They come and stay. And guess what? The vaccines can cause disease, seizure disorders, autoimmune disorders, a long list of neurological problems. So vaccines don't keep you from getting sick, but they can cause a lifetime of disease and even death. So when you are a parent and you have children, you sign up for some level of risk. It just comes with the package. And so you have to decide, is the risk of a fever, a cough, and a rash worth taking on the risk of a lifetime of disease or death because of somebody lying to you and telling you what's coming through that needle is safe and effective?
Is it a possibility, excuse me, it messes with the DNA? Do we have any facts?
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely does. And particularly the vaccines that are made from cells of aborted fetal tissue, which are chickenpox.
Sherry, that really happens, aborted fetal tissue.
And there are quantities, there are nanogram amounts of the cells, 150 nanograms of aborted fetal tissue in the MMR vaccine. And let me just give you a number in comparison. That may sound like it's teeny tiny little amount. Well, when they do genetic manipulation, when they're actually trying to do DNA changing, they're trying to eliminate a disease, they use less than 9 nanograms. There's 150 nanograms, or, you know, what is that? 6 times the amount. And that 6 times the amount, that free DNA from those cells of those aborted fetal tissue can get incorporated into our DNA through a process in immunology called transcession, when foreign DNA gets incorporated into the host DNA and it's not seen by the immune system to be eliminated. So what vaccines are made with aborted fetal tissue? The rubella fraction of the MMR vaccine, the chickenpox vaccine, and the shingles vaccine, and some of the hepatitis A vaccines.
So, Dr. Sherry, I'll open it up here. I know we got a lot of people want to ask you some questions. Let me throw this out there. Some young mother that's watching now or watch this video at some time, and she doesn't want to vaccinate. We just had our little granddaughter. She was about 12 months, caught some pneumonia. And so when we took her to the hospital, you know, they right away, vaccinations. Well, she'd been vaccinated, and of course, they make you feel like you're a criminal if you haven't done that, right? What would be an argument that you could help a parent be able to make when they go into the doctor and go into the emergency room? Oh, this child hasn't been vaccinated, and they make you feel like you're the worst person ever. What would be an argument that a parent can make, Jerry?
Well, one of the things that we that I've been saying for as many years as I've been doing this, because I've been doing seminars and our coursesformastery.com, you can see our boot camp course. We do our boot camp course twice a year. We're just about at the end of boot camp, spring boot camp. We'll open that up. It's an 8-week online course. It'll open again in September. And one of the things that we teach them through this course is that if you happen to go into the emergency room, and particularly if you go in for a non-infectious reason, like, you know, a sprained ankle, a cut that needs stitches, you know, you broke your arm, something like that, the triage nurse generally says, are your vaccinations up to date? And what we generally tell people to say is they got everything they need. Because if you think they need nothing, then you did not tell a lie.
Right.
You know, and in your instance with the pneumonia, it's like, you know, we're here. The next thing is like, you know, did they get the pneumonia shot? Did they get Prevnar? It's like, we're not here to discuss vaccination schedule. We are here because my child is sick and perhaps needs some antibiotics, and that's what we're here to talk about. So we need to start elevating these conversations with physicians to adult conversations instead of parent-child conversations, where they condescend, make you feel guilty, make you feel criminal, and all this other stuff, because that's another human being standing there that happens to be in a white coat. And it's time that we visually strip off that white coat and have adult-to-adult conversations about this.
So I go to our local Kroger's. This is just before the COVID broke out. And they had these signs all throughout the parking lot, free flu shots, right?
We now know unequivocally, published in the medical literature, that people have had a previous flu shot have an increased risk not only of contracting the COVID diagnosis, but of having a worst case scenario if you've had a flu shot before you contracted a SARS-CoV infection.
Wow. So we got a lot of smart people in here, probably smarter than me. And as I said, these are woke folks. So I'm gonna open it up and see. I know some of them are itching to say something. So listen, folks, just again, like we did yesterday, if you got a question, just unmute yourself there so we don't have everybody walking on top of each other. And I'll invite you in as I see you here. Let me scroll down here a second. That's John. Come on in, Mark Trump. Come on in, Mark.
Hey, thanks for your message and bringing this on. I've been looking at this for a while, and I've taught people that they got human fetal tissue in the vaccinations. But why do they use human male 7-month-old and human female kidney cells 5-month-old fetus? What is it about a 5-month-old female and a 7-month-old fetus male that they need that particular DNA to put in the vaccines?
Well, one of the things that you have to do is you have to go backwards in time when they started using these aborted fetal tissue. Now, remember, this isn't like they're going to go down to the local, you know, Planned Parenthood clinic and get a fresh baby and take its DNA and grow vaccines in it. These cells are called immortalized cells. They've been used, that's because they grow them in culture and they've been, they divide over and over again in perpetuity. So these aborted fetal cells have come from the 1960s. So right. Before, okay. so that was back in the day when they were doing this. And so like WI-38, which is the cell line that they used to grow the rubella fraction of the MMR vaccine, it was 38 because it was the 38th tissue type of aborted fetuses that had come in from the UK. And they were trying various types of tissues, whether it be lung or ovary or brain cells or things like that, to see whether or not the virus will propagate. Because viruses have to propagate in living tissue in order to get a large enough quantity to extract those viruses out to make a vaccine. So they just said, well, it doesn't seem to be working really well in pig or cow or dog or any of those sorts of things. So viruses actually propagate very well in human tissue culture. So that's where this historically started from. And if your listeners really want a really, really interesting discussion about it, it's Dr. Hayflick, and it's spelled just like it sounds, Hayflick, H-A-Y-F-L-I-C-K. If you look up that of his story, and he's still alive, he's in his late 80s. 20s. He's done some interviews, very intelligent interviews, about something called the Hayflick phenomenon. He was one of the earliest researchers that looked at telomeres in terms of life expectancy and longevity. He's a really interesting guy. And if you listen to some of his interviews about how they decided to on these cells, and then, yes, Dr. Leonard Hayflick, that's it, right there. He's really interesting. And how they came up with these cells, and now they are immortalized cells, and they're using the same ones over and over and over again since the 60s. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. An immortalized cell that divides in perpetuity, by definition, is a cancer cell. An immortalized cell that divides in perpetuity, by definition, is a cancer cell. The FDA, the CDC, and the powers that be that make the vaccines know unequivocally that these cells are highly tumorigenic. And the cells that they're now using from dog kidney cells to grow some of the flu shots, they know some of those strains are highly tumorigenic, that as soon as they inject that into experimental animals, they start to grow cancer cells right away. So what does the FDA say instead? Oh, instead of you saying, oh, we're not going to use tumor cells to grow vaccines. No, don't do that. Instead, they say you're only allowed to have 10 nanograms in the final product. Injecting cells that have been dividing for a long time that are known to cause cancer in experimental animals into our babies.
My goodness. Area code 315.
So the deeper you go down the rabbit hole, Dave, the more dark it gets. The more dark it gets. Yeah.
So hang on a second, 315. So Dr. Sherry, who is behind this vaccine movement? We see what's going on with Bill Gates, and I mean, he's right in the middle of it, right? And he's been funding the World Health Organization. Other than Satan himself, the demonic aspect of it, who is driving this? Because as I said, I stay away from the doctor, but if I go to the doctor, they always same question. You want a flu shot? I think of all the things to ask me. Why would you ask me that? Who's driving this thing? Is it Big Pharma?
Of course. It's excuse me. The vaccine industry is the economic loss leader of the entire pharmaceutical industry. Now, what's an economic loss leader? If you have a store and you sell something, let's say that you have a clothing store, a high-end clothing store. You'll have a sign in your window that says, come on in and get your free t-shirt. It's $35 value, or maybe $50 value. Maybe it's a silk t-shirt. Come on in and get your free t-shirt. And while you're in the store, now that we captured you, now we're going to try to sell you a $1,000 Armani suit. So all of these free flu shots at the grocery store, at your doctor's office, at your place of work, and all this other stuff, all of those can make you sick. Once you are sick, you are a customer for life to the pharmaceutical industry. So every symptom you get, asthma, allergies, eczema, ADD, ADHD, insulin-dependent diabetes, hypertension, all of these things require a prescription pharmaceutical drug to manage your disease, because the vaccine doesn't keep you from getting sick, but it does cause disease. So it drives the engine. So once you become sick, the first thing you do is you go to the doctor, then the specialist doctor, then the super specialist doctor, then you get blood tests, you get x-rays, you get all kinds of super specially techie vaccines. And eventually they say, well, we don't know what it's caused, but we'll give you a diagnosis. And based by that diagnosis, here's the five drugs that we prescribe you for life to manage your disease. It's an economic driver. It's the economic loss leader of the entire industry. Think about it, Dave. Your unvaccinated, healthy grandkids, they're not on daily prescription medications. They're not going to the doctor. They're not getting blood tests, x-rays, and all these other things. They're healthy. We cannot drive a $1.3 trillion industry on the backs of healthy, unvaccinated things. So that's why this coronavirus that is now coming after adults to make adults sick, we have a new market share for the rest of their lives on all these drugs.
Wow, my goodness. How nefarious. The wicked one at work. Area code 315, if you want to come on in.
Yes, this is Gary up in New York. Is there any such thing, if the pharmaceutical companies wanted to do this, as creating a truly safe vaccine? Is that even possible?
No. No, and I'll tell you why. is because vaccines are dirty. I mean, literally dirty. You're injecting viruses or particles of bacteria. When you have a virus, you have to do something to either kill it by irradiating it or weaken it by chemicals. The virus has to propagate in animal tissue, whether that's a dog, a cow, a chicken, an insect, a bug, or human tissue. It has to propagate. You cannot physically separate that virus completely from those tissues that it's in. So now you get the tissue. So now you've got to add all kinds of toxic antibiotics or things like 2-phenoxyethanol, beta-propiolactone, formaldehyde, aluminum, mercury, all those things to try to make the virus weak enough so that when you inject it into your body, it doesn't immediately cause you from contracting that infection. So this whole green your vaccine thing that Jenny McCarthy started back in the, I don't know, early 2000s is nonsense. It cannot be done ever. It cannot be done, you know, in terms of the current technologies that we have. Now, I have been on several committees with several different people who've talked about, is there something else that we can do that we can inject into the body that can eliminate all those things? Basically, the answer is no. Now, you can get about as non-toxic as you can be. But here's the thing. God gave us an immune system. We were born fully intact. Why are we so afraid of a fever, a cough, and a rash? Why do we think that God made a mistake and made these babies vulnerable and humanity and the nefarious stuff from the pharmaceutical industry is going to somehow protect them? Think about that. What is the base word of pharmacy? The pharmakia, which means sorcerer. We want the sorcerers to somehow find something safe to inject into us and our children? Crazy. It's not possible.
We've lost our mind. Larry in Myrtle Beach. Come on in, Larry. Larry, did you not want to? Got your microphone open? No. So, Dr. Sherry, let me switch gears a little bit because this is a really, really controversial issue as well. What about autism, vaccines and autism?
There's nothing controversial. In my opinion, there should be not one single thing controversial about it. When you inject foreign matter into little children, which is what a vaccine is, and you actually look at the list of ingredients, there are disgusting things in vaccines. In fact, if you go to Vaxter and you put down in the search engine and you put disgusting stuff, I've written at least 4 articles on the disgusting stuff in vaccines, the disgusting cow stuff, the disgusting chicken stuff, the disgusting egg stuff, disgusting stuff in vaccines. So you are injecting disgusting stuff with loads of aluminum, with mercury still coming through the flu shot, with 4 known carcinogens, with animal and human DNA, and it goes into the brain and causes inflammation. That's what autism is. And so and actually Del Bigtree and his ICANN organization just won a lawsuit against the CDC for the CDC claiming on its website that they have all this data to show that vaccines do not cause autism. They sued through a FOIA request to say, okay, you got it up there front and center. You keep propagating this myth over and again. Show us your stuff. Give us every single article that's ever been published in all the medical literature that shows that vaccines do not cause autism. I think the CDC came up with 2 studies. And we have hundreds of studies. In fact, there's a paper out there called the autism paper that at a minimum has nearly 160 peer-reviewed published articles showing that vaccines do cause brain inflammation and encephalitis, which is the real medical term for autism.
So in other words, as the left thinks or the global warming, it's settled science, huh? And it's not settled science the way they want it to be, right? It's a lot of deception. Area code 207. 207, come on in.
Dr. Sherry.
Good morning.
You mentioned
Jack,
that...
Jack Maine. Ada Maine. Go ahead, Jack.
You mentioned that God gave us an immune system. What's your thoughts on the idea that the evil side can produce, by this new technology that they can produce things that mimic diseases that God didn't give us immunity for?
Well, remember, immunity, by the purest definition of it, is protection against infections. So we swim in bugs all day long. I mean, you pet your dog, pet your cat, you know, go out and ride your horse, go out and spend time in the barn, you know, go gardening. We swim in pathogens. I mean, there's millions of bugs. In fact, I think I read somewhere one time that a human body, if you look at every microbiome, all the things inside of your gut, on your skin, in your mouth, in your hair, is something close to like 3 trillion viruses and bacteria. And that human beings are just nothing more than like a transporter of all of these normal symbiotic viruses and bacteria. So immunity, by definition, is there to protect us from infection of things that don't belong in our microbiome. Wow. Immunity is not protection against diabetes or hypertension or asthma. So can we be injected with foreign matter and that the end result of that is a disease? Absolutely. So we're not going to have immunity against a pathology called a disease. We have immunity to protect us from the symbiotic relationship that we have with viruses and bacteria.
My goodness. Somebody else get ready to come. Dr. Sherry, let me ask this question because I was looking in our chat room here. What's been your response from the Christian community? Are you getting into churches? Are pastors calling you and asking you to do presentations to their people?
You know, I did. No, Dave. And if you can facilitate that, I will go anywhere to do that. Hmm. Now, I just did 3 television segments with TCT down in Akron. You know, the Christian radio, Christian television station, I think it was the end of February, and they metered them out. They had a great response, huge response. In fact, they wanted me to come back to be a regular guest down there, but now because of social distancing, they can't have people in their studio. So I am begging, you know, we are actually creating a list right now. And if you can help us with this, I would be most grateful of different radio shows, television shows, congregations, because I think you can tell I kind of know my stuff. Yeah, and I think that I can articulate it in a way that people can understand it. And actually, I'm in the process of writing a new book. When I walked out of that television station, Dave, God laid it on my heart what my next book is supposed to be. And I'm about four chapters into it. And the working title of the book is Fighting Powers and Principalities, the Vaccine Battles. And it's all based off of Ephesians 6. Wow, and I'm in the middle of the third chapter right now. And the title of the third chapter is Jesus and the Children. And I'm talking about all the things with Jesus and the children. And here's the, you know, in Matthew, I think it's 12, might be 14, Matthew 14, where there's this whole verse in there where Jesus says, what you do unto me, or what you do unto these, you do unto me. Well, the premise of that particular passage is about if you take care of widows and children and beggars and people that are the least, then, you know, you're doing good things unto Jesus. Well, I'm taking the opposite perspective of that. What if you're injecting foreign matter, cow blood, and chicken dung into children? Aren't you asking Jesus to roll up his sleeve and be injected with that crap too?
Oh my
And
goodness.
So I'm having no mercy on the doctors. When I get around to the doctor chapter, when you pick up the book, it'll probably sizzle. It'll probably have smoke coming out the book on that chapter. Because doctors who claim to be Christians and don't know this stuff and are injecting foreign crap into their patients every day, somehow in the name of God, they are somehow, when they go and meet their maker, they're going to be held accountable for that. Held accountable.
So you mentioned Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So, Doc, I'm sure your journey hasn't been easy, has it? Who've been the forces that you've been trying, that have been coming against you, trying to silence you, trying to shut you down?
Almost all of them. We could take another whole show sometime talking about that, Dave. But I'll tell you what, you know, I've had people, when I stand on the stage in front of 3,000 people and talk, which I do frequently, or when I'm, you know, in front of big things, people will, generally someone will come up to me and ask me either, do you have a bodyguard? Do you wear Kevlar? You know, who guards your house? And I say, listen, I am doing God's work. God laid this on my heart in 2001. I heard him out loud say to me when I asked him in tears, why did you give me this to do? Why didn't you give me like the Tony Robbins Go Team Rah-Rah stuff? Why did I get that? And I heard out loud a voice say to me, because you were willing to do the work.
Wow.
And that was in 2001. And I will do this until the day I die or until God tells me to stop, because I want to finish the commission that he put on my heart. And someday I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You stayed the course no matter how hard it was.
Amen.
And it's been hard. It's been hard.
Is it getting easier now, Sherry? Is it getting easier now in this environment?
I'm not so sure about this environment, because what I would say about this current environment is this is sort of like everything else the deep state is trying to pull off. It's their last hurrah, you know? And so it's been predicted 2,000 years that this was going to happen. And this is their last hurrah. But I will say that, when I first started this back in September of 2000, there was a handful of us. There was me and maybe five or six other people that had been plowing through the medical literature, through the CDC stuff, through the NIH material, and kind of putting it together. I was one of the only doctors. But now I feel like, you know, most of my work in this area, Dave, is all based off of the parable of the sower, all of it. My job is to sow seeds. My job is not to make that seed sprout. And whenever I've gotten like angry and upset that people weren't listening to this, I would realize I slipped over into the mode of trying to make the seed sprout.
Yeah,
and I'd be like, really? Like, what's wrong? Can't you? It's like, no, back up. Your role, Sherry, is to be Joanna Appleseed and sow those seeds. And you never know which of those four types of soil that seed's going to fall in. And even when that seed goes into good soil, you don't know how long it's going to take to sprout. My job is to keep letting people know and telling people and educating and encouraging people to take a look. We have a multi-generational indoctrination of a lie. And how much more of Satan's work is that?
Well, we remember, right? I'm 67, so I took the smallpox vaccination, right? And we all remember Sabin on Sunday when they came up with that polio vaccination. We went to our local high school and they gave it and we drank, and all of a sudden polio was not around. So people, we've been trained to believe that vaccines are just really, they're just a gift from God, right? And so that's the mindset that most of us have. And the battle that I run into, and I'm sure you even more than I do, as soon as you mention to somebody the danger of vaccinations, they act like you're trying to spread syphilis or something, right? They say, are you kidding me? Right?
Because it's a religion, Dave.
Yeah.
It's because think about the language we use. I believe in vaccines. it's a religion. I believe in vaccines. I believe that vaccines, it's a religion. So you're actually telling people they're worshiping a false god and their god is dead. So what does that do? It creates a cognitive dissonance in their brain. And we are hardwired to not live in cognitive dissonance. We it's like we got one foot on the boat and one foot on the dock, and we have to make a decision. Which way are we going with that foot? Mm-hmm. And so that's what cognitive dissonance is all about. So you got one foot on the dock and the boat's sort of like drifting away. Are you going to hop in the boat that you're going to say, I'm going to investigate this and see if there's any validity to it? Or I'm going to hop back on the dock on the safety of what I believe is true, even though they have never taken 5 minutes to investigate it.
Sherry, if you have a question for Sherry, just click on your microphone, that little red microphone, and unmute it. I'll see it and I'll let you come in. Sherry, is it possible? I mean, this is a stretch, but maybe it's not a stretch. A lot of the cancers and things that we're seeing, could they be vaccine related? Back when
I
was a kid, and all
that's
of a sudden,
there's no stretch in that. Absolutely.
Wow.
It's this whole thing. I mean, like I said, they're injecting a foreign matter. Cells of aborted fetal tissue, human DNA, human albumin in a couple of the vaccines, this process of transcession, when you take foreign DNA and incorporate it into your own DNA, and your body goes, what the heck is this? And it tries to get rid of it. And as it tries to get rid of it, it walls it off. And then cells that divide in perpetuity, by definition, are cancer cells.
Unbelievable.
And if here's another one for you, Dave, the flu shot is made in eggs, right? So eggs come from chicken. Eggs in the FDA language are actually considered to be animals. So eggs are considered to be animals. So viruses are injected into these eggs to grow. And there are two viruses that are in eggs that have been in even the cleanest chicken stock. They're sarcoma viruses that they've never been able to breed out of the stocks. They've known this since the 1940s. Two of the stray viruses, they call them adventitious viruses, that are in flu shots can turn on genes that cause cancer. breast cancer specifically.
Unbelievable.
So flu shots. So now we are making mandatory flu shots for all of our healthcare workers. I would love to see if somebody do a study, an epidemiological study, of when they started making flu shots for healthcare workers mandatory. Did the incidence of breast cancer in healthcare workers start to go up?
Come on, somebody needs to mute themselves. Silver, come on in, brother.
Good morning, Doc. I'm like Coach. I'm just a little older than he is, about a year. grew up in the 50s and got all my shots and all that kind of stuff.
But wait a minute. When you grew up in the 50s, there were only 3 shots. Now there's multiple doses of 16.
Wow.
Thank God I don't do all that anymore. But I was in the Navy, and I got multiple shots.
Not as many as our military get today.
Oh, wow. So, but, you know, I say I don't feel bad. I'm thankful. I haven't. And at the VA, they're always asking that question. Have you had your flu shot?
I know.
And I said, no, and I don't want it. They said, oh, okay. But I'm expecting something mandatory to be coming down the pike. And if I don't take this, whatever it is, I'm going to lose all the coverage that I have.
Yeah. They're threatening that. They are threatening that.
That's just a big matter of prayer. But
here's the thing is, like, I see this in my office all the time when people go, when we get to this vaccine talk, they're like, yeah, kids should get their shots. Then I always say, do you know how many they get today compared to you, who your 60-year-old person sitting there? Mm-hmm. You got 3, MMR, DPT, and polio. Now they get multiple doses of 16 or 17, depending on how you count them. That's the one thing. And as soon as I say they're coming after you next, they're going to make flu shots, pneumonia shots, shingles shots, and the 271 vaccines in the developmental pipeline are mostly headed towards adolescents and adults. I've already heard stories of people in Pennsylvania of seniors who've gone to see their doctor, and the doctor has said, well, if you're not going to have a flu shot, you're not going to be allowed to come in here anymore.
Yeah.
We already know in Argentina that if you have to, in order to renew your driver's license or your passport, you have to show a completed vaccination record. That's what Bill Gates and Fauci are proposing here in the U.S. If you don't get this new COVID vaccine, which I really want to talk about in a minute, Dave. This COVID vaccine. If you don't get this COVID vaccine and have your clean certificate, have your little clean certificate that says that you're okay, then you can't go into the grocery store. You can't go to a basketball game. You can't get your driver's license renewed. And then what's coming next with this little certificate that they give you is they're going to say, oh, we want to make it really convenient for you so that you don't lose that certificate, or you might be at the airport and forget to bring that certificate with you. We'll just have it in this little chip, and we'll just put this right in your little hand right here. So it'll always be convenient. You'll always have it. And oh, by the way, we don't want you handling that dirty money, you know, those dollar bills that might be spreading these viruses. And so all of your banking data will be on that little chip too. They will make it sound like it's the best thing ever. And we all know it's the mark of the beast.
Amen. Amen.
And what's actually coming in that COVID virus vaccine, and this is what they did in that article that I wrote on Baxter. It's called Never Let a Good Crisis Go to Waste, is a replay, because they started this in 2004 with Project BioShield, that they created a permanent, indefinite funding source to create pandemic vaccines. And then in 2003, they passed this bill called the PrEP Act. And the PrEP Act, I mean, it's a vaccine that which stands for Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. It was passed by Republican Bill Frist out of Tennessee at the 11th hour. It actually got shoveled through the House without a vote at 11:30 at night on a Friday night, right before their Christmas break. And what that actually does is that anytime that there is a declared emergency, that now any vaccine, any drug, any pill, any injection, any biologic that they make under the guise of this this emergency, which has been declared by a czar, declared it on March the 17th, that we have this public emergency. And so it put in place and activated the PrEP Act. This is what the PrEP Act legislation does. It provides immunity from all liability for all drugs, vaccines, biologicals, or anything considered a covered countermeasure. So I want your audiences to start listening for that word, covered countermeasure. They have no accountability, no matter what the drug company did wrong, even if they created that product in a dirty facility and it made you sick. They have complete liability of any project used during this emergency. They have a complete liability of all lawsuits unless a bunch of people who get injured or die from this vaccine can convince the U.S. Attorney General that that vaccine was created intentionally to kill you. So you have to prove willful misconduct before you can go forward with any enforcement action against any of the pharmaceutical companies. And that is one of the main reasons why they are all scampering to the table to get billions of dollars to make a vaccine, because they can literally put anything they want in this vaccine. And if it kills you, it's a big fat so what? Sorry, we were in a hurry. We were trying to do this in a hurry so all you people could get back to work now that you've been marked with this stuff.
Question, Sherry, real quickly. I got others. These are important. I'm seeing it in the chat room. Number one, can you detox from these things? And number two, Sherry, where is there a network of doctors like you that people, is there a website? Is there some place where people can go to find holistic doctors like you?
Number one, once you vaccinate, you cannot unvaccinate. So all the stuff about detox, you can do a certain amount of it with, heavy metal detoxing of aluminum, like with garlic, cilantro, chlorella, any other sorts of things that you would just normally clean up your body with, juicing, things like that. You can improve your health. You can make your health better, but you can't ever completely eliminate what's been injected in your body. Homeopathy can help. I think homeoprophylaxis, homeopathy can help with a little bit of the detox. But once you vaccinate, you can't unvaccinate. Number two, the second question about doctors, there is an organization called Physicians for Informed Consent. It's called PIC for short, PIC. It's Physicians for Informed Consent. They are a smallish group of physicians. There's several hundred of them, but you can go on their website and you can find you can find a list of doctors that know kind of what I know. Or you can go out to DuckDuckGo and you can put in DuckDuckGo list, holistic physicians, or list, vaccine-friendly physicians. And many people across the country on their websites have lists of doctors who are not big vaccine pushers. They may vaccinate in their practices, but they may respect your right to refuse. So if you put in DuckDuckGo list, vaccine-friendly doctors, you'll find a lot of lists on various websites where you in your various states, because I see from the questions coming through, you've got people that are watching you from all across the country. So that's a good way that they can go and find people that can respect their right to say no.
So do you, Dr. Sherry, are you still taking patients? What would you do with a guy like me who just comes in off makes an appointment, comes in off the street? Do you do an evaluation? What goes on there? How does that work?
People, we do a lot of unique type of testing. We do kind of conventional testing in terms of like cholesterol and things like that. But we do a much expanded, deeper dive into that to find out, because our whole goal of our clinic is find out what is the underlying cause of your problem. And then we use vitamins, nutrition, herbs, homeopathy, things like that to get you better. So we look at conventional testing to identify what the problem is. We use our alternative basket of things to get you better. And so we feel like pharmaceutical medicine has a role, it has its place, but the pharmaceutical medicine should be the alternative. It should be the last case scenario. It should be, if you are sick enough that none of the natural things work, then we're grateful that we've got a backup plan with a pharmaceutical, that you use the smallest dose for the shortest period of time to get you better. But it should not be something that you stay on for life, if at all possible.
They're saying the same thing about COVID, right? They say the best thing is a good immune system. That rather than us worrying about whether or not we're going to get the vitamins in us, get that all pumped up. So,
and it's mostly vitamin C, vitamin D, and you should get your blood tested and make sure that your vitamin D level is somewhere between 80 and 100 for it to be therapeutic. You need at a minimum 3,000 milligrams a day of vitamin C at an absolute minimum, of 10,000 IUs a day of vitamin A as an apple. And those are things that are really super important for keeping you healthy. Stay away from what we call the great whites. You know, avoid white sugar, white flour, white rice, white cow's milk. All of those things are pro-inflammatory. They suppress your immune system. So get the great whites out of your diet, which is white sugar, white flour, white rice, and white cow milk. And get those things out of your diet. Eat real food. Stuff they hand you out a window is not a real food, you know. So eat mostly fruits and vegetables. Eat as much organic as you can. If you're going to eat meat, eat good quality meat, free-range chicken, grass-fed beef. Know your farmer. I mean, just get back to what God gave us to begin with before we put all the power into the pharmacia, right? We were born into the Garden of Eden. We had everything we had. Well, to a certain extent, the earth is still, as much as possible, the Garden of Eden. Go out there and eat real food.
So, Sherry, as we wind down here a little bit, make us feel better today, will you, Sherry? Tell us we're not all going to die from this COVID-19.
86% of people who contract the infection recover uneventfully. I think I saw an article yesterday that they suspect that 27 million people in America alone are already infected with this virus. Why? Because there are 32 different serotypes that have been around for 60 years, 60 years, almost as long as you and I've been around, Dave. So, so all of us have been exposed to this virus somewhere along the line. Please go to Vaxxer.com. Please go and read the article I wrote. Same playbook, different virus. It will give you a completely different perspective. And then if you read the second article about never let a good emergency go to waste, that will give you everything that you need to know. And at the bottom of the article, there's a little icon where you can actually print those out and pass them on. Please join my email list. Please support what we're doing. We would really appreciate if you throw in a couple of bucks in the pot so I can pay my employees, you know, to keep them going. You know, support what we're doing to spread the word. And anybody out there, you and your entire audience, Dave, please get me into the mega churches. And I will tell you why I think the mega churches don't touch this. This is my opinion. Because they're bigger donors sitting out there putting money in the bucket are doctors.
Wow. Are doctors, do they know the truth, Sherry?
They are willfully ignorant.
Right.
If I don't know, then I can keep doing what I'm doing. But once you know what you know, you can't unknow it. They are willfully ignorant. Amen. That doesn't mean they're bad people. They're willfully ignorant. But remember, ignorance is no defense in front of the Lord. Ignorance is no defense in the law. And so if you are willfully ignorant and injecting foreign matter into your patients and making them chronically sick, God's going to judge you for that someday.
Mm-hmm.
Because the information is out there. It's there. You don't have to dig very deep to find it.
So, Sherry, if I was going to direct somebody to your website, Vaxxer with two X's, V-A-X-X-T-E-R, where would I tell them to start, Sherry?
Sign up for our newsletter.
Right.
That's the first thing. Make a donation. We'd love that. The large donations, if you want to make a large donation, it can even be tax deductible. If it's over $1,000, we can even make it be tax deductible. But just start going through the articles. I mean, there's just start scrolling down and reading. If there's a particular topic that you're interested in, I mean, you can go over to the categories. You can see what categories are there. You can put it into the search and you can look and see what type of, if there's a particular thing you're interested in, like say, I've written two really good articles about the shingles vaccine. And so that probably plays into your audience probably a lot. And so you should probably go read about the problems with the shingles vaccine. And so there's literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles there. And they all have clickable references that go to mainstream medical journals. We reference things that go to PubMed. So that's really the criteria that we have.
There's an awakening going on, Dr. Tenpenny, like I've never seen. There's an awakening going on. And I think a lot of it has come about as a result of what we see going on now with this COVID. People are not as tuned out as they used to be. They're curious about what's going on. They see the economy's fallen. They're not able to pay their bills. They know something big is going on. So as Rahm Emanuel would say, we don't want to miss this crisis either, do we? We don't want to let this crisis go to waste either, to be able to educate people exactly what's going on.
You know, Dave, I tend to be a glass half full type of person, and I always kind of like to take lemons and make lemonade. I mean, so right now I feel like this is the best thing that could happen to our movement. We've got people stuck in their house watching television that the thought of mandatory vaccinations for adults never crossed their radar screen ever. And now suddenly they're hearing it and they're going, what? Bill Gates is doing what? Fauci's, who is that doing what? Making these rules? Right. These are not affected officials. So suddenly we've got tens of millions of people going, wait a minute, that ain't happening in my lifetime. No way. So I really think that this is, let's take these lemons and make lemonade out of this.
You've been a great guest, Sherry. And if you would be kind enough, we'd have you back on, because this is the kind of truth that we've got to get out. This is the opportunity to be able to do it. We're in your corner. We'll do whatever we can to help you spread the message. And thanks for getting up early and joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Dave. Take care.
Hang in there with us just a second. Thanks. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.